Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, we continue our journey through the book of Romans in our Nothing Will series, and today's teaching is entitled The Conflict. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and empowering message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
From Romans, starting from the chapter 17, we're going to be going from verses 13 through 15. So I'll be reading from the New International Version. So when you got it, say, I got it. See it on the screen? Say, see it on the screen. There we go. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Still hear those pages turning. Hallelujah. It reads, Paul is writing to the church in Romans, just to give a little context, and he's been talking about the law and being dead to the, and then what the law means to believers and what the law means in general. So Paul has been talking about the law of God, and so now we're transitioning into him going further in depth about the law of God. So verse 13 starts, did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do. But the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living within me that does it. So I find this law at work in me. Although I want to do good, evil is right there next to me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work in me. What a wretched man that I am. Who will save me? Who will rescue me from this body subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So then as I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. You know, I'm amazed at the games we created when we were children. I don't know if we had more imagination back then or we just were able to make very, very things, simple things fun. Types of games. Hide and go seek was fantastic. I don't know if anybody ever played freeze tag. Anybody remember freeze tag? Freeze tag. How about the most competitive game ever? It was so simple, but Foursquare. It's like you were just going crazy, just trying to get the ball on, get the other person out. So everybody, all these different competitive games, all these different simple games that we had that were so fun, but just so unique in and of themselves. One game we played has a lot of implications and a lot of significance to our message today. The name of that game is called Tug of War. And in this game, what would happen is you have two teams. Maybe it was girls versus boys. Maybe it was the fifth graders versus the fourth graders. Maybe it was Miss Johnson class versus Miss Gibbs class. There's a lot of different ways you could split the team up. A lot of different ways. But the objective and the idea of the game was that you had a rope, a very long rope, and sometimes in the middle of it, there would be a red flag. So right in the middle is a red flag. In both teams, one team on one side, other team on the other side, red flag in the middle, they're pulling as hard as they possibly can. Because the objective is the team who's victorious is going to be the team that can get the other team on their side. So both of them are pulling as hard as they physically can so that they might be victorious. Interwoven into this game are themes of conflict, struggle, and control. So our message today is titled, The Conflict. In our passage, Paul is dealing with the internal conflict that we face in our sinful nature. We also face it, it's our sinful nature internally. We have our sinful nature, the law of God, and then the Holy Spirit. And as we read through the passage, you could literally feel the internal and external struggle of Paul. On one side, he had team right, or team, the good team. And then on the other side, he had team wrong, or the evil team, or the bad team. And so what you would have is on team right, Paul is trying, and he's trying, and he's trying, and he's pulling, and he's pulling, and he's pulling. He's doing everything he can to do right. But somehow, someway, evil always seems to get the better of him. Always seems to get the better of him. But we can't front, because all Paul is doing is telling each and every one of our own testimonies. All he's doing is telling our testimonies. Addictions, insecurities, doubt, and weariness all plague us every day. And when we start, and when they start to creep up to the doorways of our hearts and minds, all too often we let these sinful and untrue thoughts enter into our hearts and minds. But Paul is only explaining the state. He's not only explaining the state of his existence, but he's explaining the state of existence for every human being on this earth. But although there is an internal conflict that wages war in our minds and our bodies, God is able to set us free from this bondage of sin. If we take a look at this internal conflict, we can see why Paul and us as believers in this day and age struggle with sin, struggle mightily with sin. In verse 13, Paul asks, "Did that which was good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, that in order sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful." Picture you're going to the beach. It's a nice sunny day. You had a long week of work, so you're trying to get your relaxation on. You're trying to just enjoy everything you can about the beach. So you're going to go to the beach. You're looking really, really excited, really looking forward to taking a swim in the ocean. But you get to the ocean, and you get to the beach, and you read a sign that says, "Beware. Sharks in the water." Now you're frustrated. I had everything set up, my game plan. I was in a chill. I've been working so hard, working so long. But now I'm frustrated. You could get mad at the sign. You could get mad at the person who put up the sign. But ultimately, what good would that really do? Ultimately, what will that really bring? The sign merely informs you of truth. This is very similar to the law of God in our own life. Just like the sign pointed out a truth about shark-infested waters, God's law points us to the truth about God, his righteousness, sin, and death. However, each one of us has a sinful nature in addition to the law, to the standard that God has in front of us. The law is the good and righteous standard of God that's in all of our lives. It's true for us. It's good for us. It's good for correction. It's good for all these different things. However, sin seized the opportunity, took something good, and turned it into a temptation. Turned it into a temptation. You go from reading, "Beware sharks in the water," to sin now working in you and manipulating and saying something like, "But I deserve to swim for a little bit, right? Come on, sir. I mean, it was such a long week at work. Oh, such a long week. I'm so tired. What about, I could go swimming with sharks. Sharks, it could be fun. I never tried it before. They only take one day. I could be fun. You don't even know. Oh, how about this? You know what? I bet you there ain't even no socks in the water. I bet you my boss put that sign up. Now I'm mad. He just wanted me to keep on having a good week. I see how it is. You know, I'm going to jump in anyway because I think it's okay. Maybe you might do this. You know what? Why don't I just swim for like 2 minutes? And then I'm just jump right back out. And I'm just going to only do it just for a little bit. You see how sin took what was meant for good and turned it into manipulation, temptation, and death. Sin uses what's meant for good to produce destruction and death in our lives. Our sinful nature takes the truth of God and bends it into what is comfortable for us. Sin takes God's law and it tries to mold it in such a way that it produces death. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death. And the thing about the sign, though, what's amazing is that the sign can point you to the truth. But once you jump in that water, it's powerless to save you. It's powerless to pull you out of the ocean. It can't do anything. Once you jump in that water, sin is powerless to untie the mess or the weave that you have woven. It's powerless to untwist all that has done. But the situation gets worse. As Paul dives deeper into his explanation of our internal struggle, we read in verses 15 and 16, he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, then I must agree the law is good. So I decide to jump into the water. And I jump into the water, and no surprise at all, I'm surrounded by sharks. Can't really get mad at nobody but myself, but now I'm stuck. I knew I shouldn't have jumped into the water, but I did it anyway. I knew what was right, but I still didn't do it. Amen, I knew that jumping into the water would be wrong, but I still did it anyway. In a compromising position, I too often seem to compromise. Now I'm surrounded by sharks and I can't get free. My inability to do the right thing has me stuck in a death trap on one hand, and it also proves the necessity of God's law for guidance and instruction in my other hand. In my sinful state, there is no capacity to do good, only wrong and evil. Verse 19 reads, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Now that I'm stuck in sin, it is painfully obvious that I need to get unstuck. I'm surrounded by sharks. Obviously, I need to change my longitude and my latitude, some type of way. But the very thing that got me into trouble in the first place, when I was trying to avoid it, I find myself back doing it again. Let me explain. Men, have we ever said, I'm not going to do it again? Nope, not going back there ever again. Get a text message. And it's like you teleport to somebody's house you ain't supposed to be at, doing stuff you ain't supposed to be doing. Have you ever said, you know what? This is my last time. This is my last bottle. This is my last pack that I'm smoking. This is the last time I'm going to click on that website. Come on, sir. Come and you find yourself, the last time was the 40th time and the 50th time, and it kept going and going and going and going. Ladies, have you ever, I've never been late, but have you ever been in a situation? How about this? How many empty promises are you going to fulfill for him? He hasn't kept a meaningful promise yet in the relationship, yet you're trying to build a meaningful relationship. What got me into trouble in the first place, I just keep going back to it. Oh, he said he loved me. Right back where we started. Probably more oftentimes in a worse situation. How many times have you said, you know what, I'm going to follow my business plan. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make a business that glorifies and honors God with everything that I do, only to have that plan sitting on the shelf, collecting dust, and you weakening the power and touch of God in the process. To make matters worse, Paul even implies that the very thing he is doing, he actually doesn't even want to do. Have you ever been in a situation where you looked at somebody else in their situation and said, you know what? I would never do that in a million years. I would never do that in a million years. Only days, weeks, or months later to find yourself in the same situation doing the same thing that they did. You thought that you were so high that you would never fall for something like that. And there you are in the same situation. Or what if you thought, you know what? I would never do that. I would never watch something like that. I would never treat a person like that. And yet you find yourself treating somebody way worse than you ever thought you would, doing things you never in your mind thought you would do. You've done things that you wouldn't tell nobody else. Things that you would call other people a monster for if we just opened up your closet. Open up my closet. What would we see? I could build a skeleton. I mean, I build an army with the skeletons in my closet. What I would, when I would do good. The very thing that I hate. The very thing I don't want to do. This I do. Now, before I move on, I have to draw attention to two things. The first thing is this. And there's somebody in the crowd saying, well, you know, I beat whatever on my own. I stopped smoking 10 years ago, and I never picked up another cigarette yet. Somebody saying, you know, I stopped drinking, I stopped club, whatever it is. You know, I stopped doing issue X, or my mom stopped doing this. I had a gym teacher in school who says, you know, he's going to not do it no more. And by his own willpower, by his own sheer willpower, he stopped doing it. That very well may be true. People can overcome a sin in their life, but they can't overcome sin in their life. You may be able to overcome one thing on your own, but the burden and weight of sin is nowhere near. There's no way that you can overcome it on your own. You would be in rehab for eternity and still would not be able to overcome all sin on your own. We don't have enough willpower. We don't have enough strength to do it on our own. Even if you went through rehab for some type of substance abuse and you're now clean, there's still countless amount of other issues that we must account for. God's standard is perfection in every single area. And we cannot hope to achieve complete perfection in our own strength. The second thing I need to draw attention to is this. Although evil is present in our lives, we still are responsible for our actions. Yep. Saying things like, well, God knows my heart, or the Lord made me this way, I can just do whatever I want to do, it's not acceptable at all. There is never an acceptable reason to sin. Now, there never has been, and there never will be an acceptable reason to sin. That's good. Y'all with me so far? Amen. Am I losing you? Now, at this point in the passage, we see that we are stuck in sin, surrounded by sharks. I mean, I'm treading water, but I don't know how much longer I'm going to last. And even when we try to free ourselves, well, dang, we're still back where we are, where we didn't want to be, possibly an even worse situation than when we first started. Things I never thought I would do, I'm doing them now. The lowest I ever thought I would sink, I'm 20 feet deeper than that now. I'm where I never wanted to be. Evil and wrong are ever present. Paul admits, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. In chapter 7, verse 21. If we go back to our game of tug of war, it looks like evil and the wrong side are winning by a landslide. I mean, Paul continues to expose the depth of this internal conflict by explaining in verse 22 that he delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in God's law. And all of us do. All of us delight in God's law. Nobody likes to be lied to. Therefore, we delight in the truth. We cherish purity. We are grateful for gentleness and honesty. We love sacrifice, self-sacrifice, and patience. But then why is it such a struggle to be patient? Even though we long for people to be patient with us. I love watching selflessness, but so many of my actions and so many of what things that I do are tied to selfish intentions. Tied to selfish intentions. I love purity, but I can't seem to stay pure. I love God's way, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. I'm in misery. We as humanity are in misery. We are people who are in a true internal conflict, a true internal struggle. How many can say the struggle is real? Is it just me? Am I the only one who deals with this? The struggle is real. Every day we have to sit up and fight and say, you know what? I want to do right. There is a major conflict inside of us. We need conflict resolution. See, this is why God is so mind-blowingly amazing. Paul just listed all of our problems in about 12 verses, and we could have expounded on it even more. We could have kept going on it. But the answer to our conflict is just one simple solution. It isn't to smoke our problems away, to drink them away. No man or woman can resolve the internal conflict that we face every single day. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are different from the rest of the world. What's amazing is we know that we have issues. We know that we have struggles. We know that so many things are going to come our way. But instead of attempting to drown out our struggles and our issues with habits and with other people and people being around us, we face our issues head on. We know this life will be hard. We will and have fallen in this life. We will have conflicts with death, with insecurities, with doubt, with family issues, or even just wondering, Lord, am I good enough? We're going to struggle. We're going to struggle. But thanks be to God who delivers me, delivers us, delivers the church, delivers his people through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We resolve our conflicts by placing them at the feet of Jesus. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God, which doesn't even make sense, the peace of God, which we can't even physically comprehend, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can set us free from the bondage of sin. Jesus paid the price for us and became the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. We now have access to righteousness and to the throne of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What the law was powerless to do, Jesus has become the key to unlock every single chain that bound us and kept us locked in sin. Now, God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us. The best way I could explain this is, don't laugh at me. Nobody's in trouble. I promise. Grace didn't do nothing. This right here, this is a straight line. Represents the standard. Represents God's law. Represents his law. Somebody says to you one day, hey, you're not supposed to lie. It's wrong. You shouldn't do it. It's against God. It offends him in the highest way. But then you find yourself slowly bending God's law, his will and his way. And you find yourself in a web of lies. Or you find yourself in a position or a predicament that you didn't want to be in. And you're trying to get out. You're trying to get back to something, some semblance of safety and security. But you see that you're just locked in an internal conflict, just trying to break free and do the right thing. But you're stuck. Can't move. Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We cannot get free on our own. We can never be righteous enough. We can never come to church enough. We can never give enough hugs. We can never do the things that we need to do to be broken free. We're locked and we can't move at all. But that's why we have the Lord Jesus. Because once we accept him in our lives and we receive his Holy Spirit, what begins to happen? We begin to go back to that original standard, and we begin to go back to where we were intended to be. But don't get it twisted. Once we save, don't mean we still ain't gonna struggle. So we may start to bend a little bit and to move and to go ways we ain't supposed to go. But the Holy Spirit will arrest us and get us back to where we need to be in God. The Holy Spirit will always be getting us back to this standard. And your sinful nature will always be doing everything he can to get us anywhere but here. Anywhere but here. This is the standard. This is the truth. This is holiness. This is purity. This is justice. This is righteousness. This is wholeness. This is freedom. This is liberty. This is security in Christ. This is who God is. This is who he wants us to be. Oh, but that old Nathan. That old Nathan. Oh, the websites. Oh, the different things. All the different, all the different things. He just creep up every now and then. He just try to sneak up on me every now and then and try to get me back. But there's two dogs in the fight, y'all. The tug of war is going on this side and on this side. Which dog are you going to feed? If you feed your flesh, you'll stay right here. But if you feed the Spirit of God, you will be restored. You will be back to where you're supposed to be in God. You will be everything that you are supposed to be. See, we as believers do not know our rights as kingdom citizens. When you don't know your rights, you don't know your worth. And when you don't know your worth, you start making up standards that are too low for you that God never intended for you to be. You will do things that you never thought you wanted to do, and you will settle for things that God never intended for us to settle on. God says you don't have to struggle in sin, but we continue to struggle in sin. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but we walk in are ravaging fear every single day of our lives. The devil is a liar. He continues to give us lower than we should be. When we are kingdom citizens, we know the standard. But when we don't walk as kingdom citizens, we say, you know what? It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to doubt a little bit. It's okay to not be where I should be because the Lord's still working on me. It's okay to fall short every now and then. It's okay to do wrong. You just lower the standard, and lower the standard. But as a kingdom citizen, as a child of the redeemed, we have been washed from every shame. We have been washed and broken every chain. We are redeemed. When you are a prisoner, you don't go back to prison. You run away. You run away. You run away. Man, ain't God good? He has set us free from the bondage of sin, the internal conflict that ravages our hearts and our minds each and every single day. He has freed us from. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We are called to be free as believers. Our standard is freedom, not in bondage. We are called to be secure in Christ, never to walk in any insecurity. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, insecurity is not of God. Insecurity is not of God. So when somebody tells you you don't look a certain way, and then you internalize that and say, well, maybe I don't look, or I should, that's not of God. When you say to yourself, I can't, that's insecurity in who you are in Christ Jesus. That's not of God. That's not his standard. His standard is to destroy pride and everything that it stands on and walk beautifully in humility. We are called to walk in authority. Matthew chapter 16 says, Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. I didn't put it up on the screen, but it talks about Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he asked him, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? We're in an identity struggle. We're trying to figure out who Jesus really is. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says something so powerful. He says, God showed that to you, Peter. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. As a kingdom citizen, we should walk in authority. When you have keys, Jasper, if I were to give you my keys, you know what you now have? You've got access. You've got authority. You can get into my house right now if you want to. You can get into my car right now if you want to. Jesus said, I gave you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So if I say, fear be ye removed, fear has to get up and it has to go. When I say this business will work because it's in Christ Jesus, the business will work because you are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to worry about all these different things that the enemy is trying to lower our standards about. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. He is a liar. He is a liar. Yes. We have authority and access as kingdom citizens. Authority and access as kingdom citizens. Authority and access. Do you know your worth as a kingdom citizen? Do you really understand your worth as a kingdom citizen? Do you really understand what it means to have the keys that you can open and close the doors of heaven at any time? You can open and close the doors of heaven at any time. What is sickness to God? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there doubt in heaven? Is there weariness and brokenness in heaven? Is there... I know we struggle. And I know there's a fight each and every single day. We have to. We will fall. We will make mistakes. But the beauty and the blessing of being in Christ Jesus is that we have a remedy to our mistakes. When you aren't in Christ Jesus, you're stuck in sin and you can't get out. But when you are in Christ Jesus, you can brush yourself off. You can say, I am redeemed. He set me free. So I will take all these heavy chains. I wipe away every stain because I'm not who I used to be. I can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. Amen. The old things have passed away. I don't have to struggle like I used to. I don't have to be in a conflict like I used to. I have already won. You have already won. We have already won because we are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what doubt you have. It doesn't matter what's inside of you. The devil is a liar. What can't be overcome through prayer? What can't be overcome through prayer? Nothing. Nothing. It's nothing. Nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing can separate us from your power. Nothing can separate us from who you called us to be. We bless your name, Jesus. Let us walk in victory on today. Let us walk in victory on today. Let us walk in victory on today. The conflict is going to be here, but we know the victory is already won. We don't fight for the W. We fight from the W. It's already won. It's already won. It's already won.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We hope you are encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you'd like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.